You'll find information on how to support us at the end of this podcast. Okay, now I want to speak about a really important thing that this mind should be in you. The Bible talks about in Philippians chapter 2, it says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Then he goes on in 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So he says, I want you to think about this. "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man." Really, that's really what I want to speak about, is being a servant. You know, Jesus spoke to his disciples when they were arguing, saying, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? And he said, serve one another. You know, if you think about it, who is the greatest in America? That would be the American president, wouldn't it? You know, he is the head of the armed forces. He is the head of the government in America. He is the greatest in America. He would be able to command great authority and power. So who do you think would be the greatest in the kingdom of God? We said a servant is the greatest in the kingdom of God. So if you're a servant unto your brothers and sisters, and you put them before you, then do you think that you would be able to command the kingdom of God, being the greatest in the kingdom of God? Would you be able to command and ask the Father, Father, would you send angels, dispatch them to do this, this, and this? Now, we'll get on to what angels and their functions are. That's another resource that we don't understand, but I want to teach you about these things. We don't worship angels, but we ask the Father to send them. We don't command angels ourselves. We ask the Father to dispatch them. And the Bible says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister unto those who are heirs of salvation? You find that in Hebrews. So are they not, that's angels, are they not all ministering spirits? And what do ministering spirits do? They minister unto us who are heirs of salvation. The Bible also says that they hearken unto the voice of his word. The Bible says that the angels are camped around the righteous. What are they doing? They're protecting. How do they protect? They protect in the spiritual realm. They perform things. But we don't know much about angels, do we? Angels are a great resource to the kingdom of God. So do you think that if you spoke his word, spoke God's word, that it would be fulfilled in this world? And how would it be fulfilled? Through the power of God, through the angels. You know, we don't want to get into too much about angels, because maybe some of you, this is a bit too much for you. You know, but I want to give you the full counsel of God, and not just a parcel of something, and that's it. I want you to be a full-rounded Christian, a full-rounded person, to be able to receive the fullness of what God has for you. I'm not going to shun, I'm not going to stop declaring the full counsel of God to you. I'm not going to give you my pet 300 scriptures, and that's all. I'm going to give you everything that I know. I have been searching the scriptures to see if they be true. You know, there was Paul, he was in Acts, it mentions him in Acts, and these people, they said, we're going to go and we're going to study the scriptures to see if what you say is true. It says they were more noble. You know, God wants us to be, the word noble is, they were more intelligent. They didn't just believe everything they were told. They went and searched the scriptures out themselves. And God wants us to inquire in the scriptures whether these things be so. But you know, if somebody says that devils don't exist, angels don't exist, I mean, they're just being like Pharisees. I mean, the Sadducees, they didn't believe in angels and the resurrection. The Pharisees did, You know, and so who is right and who is wrong? Go and look in the Bible. It's all there. It's all there for you. Nothing's hid. You know, if you've only been taught 5% of the Bible, there's another 95% out there ready for you to walk in and to utilize. So, yeah, God wants us to be, He wants us to be, you know, servants to each other. He wants us to put each other first. So how do we do that? Do we let someone just walk over us, over us, and over us? What do we do? What's being a servant actually really mean? Well, you know, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I now send you. So how did Jesus go? What did he do? There were two sections to that. There was before, you'll find in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 18, I think it is. And Jesus is saying, I'll just find it up here. One more. We'll go. Yeah, John 17. Come on, John 17. Verse 18, it says, as thou hast sent me unto the world, into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So Jesus is having this prayer to the Father, and he says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Then he goes in 19, and for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. You know, the word is truth. It says in 17, it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the word is truth. How are we sanctified? How are we separated? By the word of God. That's how we're sanctified, by the word of God. For the word is truth. And Jesus said in 19, and for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth, the word. Right? Then he goes in 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Through their word. I mean, they actually were inspired by the word of, by the Holy Spirit to write the Bible. And that was truth. And he's praying for the disciples, but not only the disciples, but Jesus is making this prayer to the Father on behalf of you and me, because we've come after them. So this prayer is for us. Do you know, if you have someone pray for you, that's wonderful, but how about Jesus praying for you? Jesus prayed for me. He prayed that he said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So if you look at the Bible, read the Bible, believe it, and do it, then you'll be sanctified. It says, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. If we all follow what the word of God says, and we walk in it, and we make it our life, then we get sanctified. We get sanctified through that word. And when we get sanctified through that word, we become one with Jesus, and Jesus is one with the Father, and we are all one. We're one with the Father and Jesus, all together, all in one. It's an amazing thing. But you know, if you look in 20, so that's before the cross. So if we go, if we just flick through my Bible here, if we go to
20, and then we go to, I think, 21 in chapter 20, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 21, it says, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." So now he's sending them with his authority. So before, he says, as you have sent me, Father, I now send them. Now he's saying, as the Father has sent me, I send you. So now, before he was speaking to the Father on one side of the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, right, wasn't at the Garden of Gethsemane, it was just before that. And then he goes through the cross, and then he's glorified, and then he has all authority given unto him in heaven and earth and beneath the earth. And then he goes and says, he goes, peace unto them. He says, then said Jesus to them again, peace or shalom, right? Which means an absolute, complete, happy peace, a complete and utter peace, peace from all turmoil in every way. And that's what that word shalom means. Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So is Jesus sending us? Well, how did he operate before the cross? He walked in the blessings of Abraham, led by the Spirit. He was the seed of Abraham. And God promised Abraham that in all of his seed would be blessed. So Jesus is the seed, and we're in Jesus, so we get all of the blessings of Abraham. All of the blessings of Abraham. And we're free from the curse, and we walk in the Holy Spirit, which guides us and leads us. You know, and what did Jesus do? You know, in Acts 10:38, it says, Peter is speaking to Cornelius and the whole household. He says, how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So he said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. For God was with him. And then if you look in Isaiah, if you look in, where are you, Isaiah? Here we go. If you look in Isaiah 61, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. So is the Spirit of God on you? Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound. So Jesus stood up in the synagogue. He spoke these things. He opened the book of Isaiah to the book of Isaiah and read these things. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So that's what we do. So Jesus, right, was anointed by the Holy Spirit, and he went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And then Jesus said unto his disciples, as the Father has sent me, I now send you. Lo, behold, I'm with you even unto the end of the earth. God is with you. So Jesus stood up and preached out of Isaiah and he quoted a scripture and said, "This now, this day, this prophecy is fulfilled in your ears." So now Jesus sends his disciples and says, "Go and do exactly what I did. As the Father has sent me, I now send you." So would it be legal for us, or lawful for us, to go to Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1 and say, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to build up, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." That's what Don and I do now, because we went and we got full of God. So we went and got full of God so we could actually do it and not just speak it. You know, it's no good speaking it. You could speak it until the cows come home, but if you can't do it, then you're just up the creek. You're just full of waffle and just full of words. I mean, you can say 1,000 scriptures about healing and about deliverance and about setting the captives free and about all this stuff, but if you can't do it, if you can't put on a show, no good talking about it. You know, Paul said in Corinthians, he said, "I didn't come to you with great excellency of speech and great swelling words. I come to you in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, the demonstration of the kingdom of God." We need to be full of God so that we can demonstrate the kingdom of God. Not talk about it, not maybe hope about it, but demonstrate it. And you can't demonstrate it unless you're full of God. You can demonstrate in faith, right? You can heal people in faith, and that's one part. But you need to be full of God. We need to be full of the presence of God, the dunamis power of God. You know, you'll find that in Acts it says, Peter said, "Choose 7 men amongst you that are of good report and are full of the Holy Ghost." So they were filled with the Holy Spirit, but they were full of the Holy Ghost, so that they could walk in a ministry that they were prayed over. They put their hands and they laid their hands on them and prayed over them, and ministry came upon them. And they actually went and they had wisdom to be able to do that ministry, which was to look after the needs of the saints. And then from that, Philip became an evangelist and Stephen became the first martyr, because they were full of God. Yeah, you can't do anything unless you're full of God. If you're not full of God, all you've got is just words. That's it, just words. When I go up to people, I lay my hands on them, the power of God goes over them, because I'm full of God. Because when I lay hands on them, they're changed, because I'm full of God. I don't use words. I use the power of God. And I serve my brothers and sisters. I pray for them, lay hands on them, and the power of God goes over them, and it sets the captives free. It sets the captives free because the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And he's also upon you. All you have to do is go and get full of God. You know, the easiest way to get full of God is just sit down and start praying. You can, we can move it along a real fast track by just laying hands on you and get you up the track a little further and get all that stuff. See, really, by getting full of God, the process is first you sit down and you get rid of all the stuff that's dogging you. Then you start getting full of God. So the first thing you do, you start praying in tongues for an hour or two every day, and you get rid of all the stuff that's dogging you, all the stuff that's pressing your buttons, all the stuff that's not making you walk in the fruit of this Holy Ghost. And that takes months and months and months and years actually to do that. And then you get full of God. And the full of God becomes exponentially, it gets in increments. So you get rid of a lot of stuff, some of God fills that area. You get rid of a lot of stuff, God fills that area. You get rid of a lot of stuff, God fills that area, and you get stronger and stronger and more powerful in the things of God. You carry a greater presence of the kingdom of God. The good part is we can come along, we put our hands on you, and all of that stuff goes, and God fills you with that, with his presence. and you're along the track a long ways. Instead of being 5-6 years like we've done, you're 2 or 3 years up the track. And then all you've got to do is just do a finish off. Next couple of years, you're just finishing off all the little tidy bits, tidying up all the little bits. We've seen over and over and over and over in the saints. It happens over and over and over. We expect it because we're full of God. We lay hands on them and then they get full of God. And then they go and lay hands on other people when they're full of God. And then what they have, they give away, right? They give away what they've been given. They serve each other. I say to my brothers and sisters, when you get full of God, when we go to their house and pray for them and they get all excited and they're on fire and they still got a few more buttons to clean up, you know, some of those, they look around and they think, hang about. I've spent 20 years serving the body of Christ and I've never had this happen to me. And now I'm full of God and I'm cleaned up. And, you know, it's a natural tendency to go after the people that might have slowed you down. But, you know, it wasn't the oversight that slowed you down. It wasn't some house leader that didn't preach the gospel to you or didn't feed you enough or whatever or didn't minister to your needs. It was you, basically you. And it's no good playing the blame game. The best thing to do is to go and pray for those people and help them get out of the mud and the ditch and to get full of God just like you. That's the love of the brethren. Not to go and be accusers of the brethren like the enemy is, right? We're to love each other by putting our hand down and saying, here, I'll lift you up as well because somebody put their hand down and lifted me up because somebody sat down and got full of God and came to that person and put their hand down and lifted them up. All we're doing is getting full of God and going and setting the captives free, saying to them, get more full of God and then go and set the captives free. Be a servant unto your brothers and sisters. And if you're a servant, you will command the greatest resources of the kingdom of God. Because the Bible says, Jesus said, who is the word of God, you can't get any more authoritative than that. He said that those who are the greatest in the kingdom of God are those who are the servants. He said when he washed their feet, he said, likewise, go and do unto your brothers. Go and wash their feet. Wash the dirtiest part of them, right? Clean them up. Pray for them. So what does Paul say? He says, pray for people. That is the key. That's the way that you destroy darkness in people's lives. Is you destroy the darkness by praying over them, destroying what is changing their life, what is influencing their life, all darkness. You command the eyes of their understanding to be opened. You command them to be set free. You speak unto the heavy burdens and you command them to go. So the Spirit of the Lord God is upon you because God has anointed you to preach the good tidings. What are the good tidings? You're speaking unto the good tidings, unto the meek, right? Those that are able to receive the good tidings. He has sent you to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Those that are bound up in situations, you open the prison door and they walk out free. So if you want to be a servant, then you just serve your brothers by getting full of God. That's the easiest way. It's pretty simple. Go and get full of God. Go and get the beam out of your eye. Then you can get the little tiny bit out of somebody else's eye. Go and get yourself straight and in alignment with the kingdom of God and get full of God, right? And then you can go and set the captives free. And then they can do the same, and everybody does the same, and everybody does the same, and the kingdom of God gets fuller and fuller with people who are walking in the presence and power and demonstration of the Spirit. That's how it works. It's no good sitting around listening to 1,000 talks and never doing anything. We need to sit at the presence of God, in the presence of God, and get full of God. Let him disassemble you, and let him reconstruct the kingdom of God inside you. And then he will fill that place with his presence, his authority, and his power. And his love will transform you. You know, I went after healing. I thought, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to pray for 5 hours a day, and I'm going to do it for months. I'm going to just keep doing it for as long as it takes, and I'm going to get healing. I'm going to be able to heal people and pray for them, and they'll get healed, and everybody will be happy, and they'll heal, and rah, rah, rah. And then God, through that process, said to me, son, healing's not where it's at. That's just the outward working of my presence and my love. If you really want to do some damage, get full of me, get full of my love, get full of who I am. Take upon yourself my personality. I'm full of loving kindness and goodness and gentleness. And so I started going after the transforming love of God. I spent years seeking his presence, his personality, who he was, that he would transform me into him who sent him. That was Jesus. That I would walk in the love of God, that I would walk in compassion towards my brothers and sisters, that I would walk in the ability to be able to not be offended, that I would walk in the ability to have grace abounding in me because of the love of God. And then healing came, and it was much, much greater than I could even expect. I mean, I saw healing of people's physical bodies and healings of their soul. Some people are so torn up. Some people are so oppressed. I mean, they might have sickness on them. They might have broken parts of their body and all these sorts of things. But, you know, when people get healed of their soul, it seems to be the greatest healing. I mean, a person get a cancer off them and get arthritis off them, and that's wonderful. But their soul is still torn. But when we pour in that oil and that wine because we're full of God, and they transform from being a broken person that are bound up and have all of these weights, and they're just broken hearted and they're captive, and the door opens and we bind up the broken hearted, we see a greater transformation. It's a greater miracle to see a person restored into the kingdom of God. Yeah, you get a person healed and they still don't want to follow God, but when the person gets the love of God on them, when God touches them deep, you know, a lot of the time they want to follow God. They want to follow God in a greater capacity, because the goodness of God, his generosity towards them, draws men unto repentance. How does that work? Well, the goodness of God draws men unto repentance. The goodness, the generosity, the loving kindness, the long-suffering, the love of God draws men unto repentance. It means he turns their head. They no longer want to go that way. They want to go that way. They want to go the way of God. He draws men unto repentance. He draws men to turn over around to him, and he captures their heart with him who he is. You know, a lot of people try and preach God as his judgment. He'll throw you into hell. You're going to hell if you just do anything wrong. You know, that is true. God is judgment, but he's also loving. You know, so we need to preach both ends of the street, both sides of the street. There's some people who preach judgment, some people who preach absolute grace. You can do whatever you want. God loves you. Your sins were paid for, past, present, and future. That's true, but it's not true in its operation. You have to walk in repentance. If you don't walk in a repentant heart, then judgment will come upon you. Right? If you judge people all the time without preaching to them the goodness and the grace of God, then judgment will come on you. Either way, you miss out. And a lot of people are being hoodwinked. And, you know, what we need to do is we need to have the full counsel of God. We need to understand his full personality, who he truly is. And then we can be a servant unto each other. We can serve our brothers in humility, knowing that the power that comes out of us is not of us. It comes through us. We carry it, but it came from God. You know, Paul said a profound thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 3, and 4. He talks to the people about, some say I'm of Apollos, some say, Paul, some Jesus. He said, listen, you guys, where do we get all this really wonderful teaching from? We got it from God, so none of us can boast. When I lay my hands on people, people's lives are absolutely changed. It's amazing. I think it's cool. I put my hand on them, and the power of God just rushes through them. Sometimes I don't even have to put my hand out on them. I just be in the room with them, and the power of God goes over them. They fall on their knees and start crying profusely. I think that's pretty cool. But it's not of me. I know that I carry the presence, but I actually, it doesn't come from me. It comes from me, but comes from God. I didn't get it from myself. I got it from God, and then I give it away. When a person teaches something that's profound and really good and comes from God, it comes from God. It doesn't come from them. They're passing it on. All I'm doing is passing on what I've received from God. And we give all the glory to Jesus. And people who say, oh, you're full of yourself, Tom, you know, they just don't understand the working of the kingdom of God. You know, they're into false humility. False humility is another form of pride. It's the other end of pride. Oh, I'm so humble, I'm the most humblest person in the world. Give me a break. I've been down that road, and I tell you what, it's a stupid road. All I do is just tell people the truth. I get full of God and I lay my hands on them, and the power of God goes over them, and they get full of God. We all get full of God, right? We don't get full of Tom Morgan, we get full of God. Yeah, you know, so we be a servant to each other. And we lay our lives down for each other. We pray for each other. We lift each other up before the Lord in prayer, that our eyes of our understanding would be open, that we would be full of grace, that grace would abound in us, that we would be full of faith, that we would walk in truth, and we would honor each other in the name of Jesus. That's what we do. That's what we do. And that's how you become a servant of the Lord. And that's how you receive all of the resources of the kingdom of God. You become a servant. Die to yourself and live to Jesus Christ. That's the way it is. Anyway, we'll leave it there.
So if you'd like to help us out at Clear Vision Revival, just go to the bottom of the page and click on support. It'd be greatly appreciated.